vision so to escape from reality? Me, I don't need this shit. I am reality. The way it ought to be.
Welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled. I believe we're on episode 118.
Yeah.
Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it does.
Deborah, you're back on the show with us. Thank you for joining us on a Wednesday night.
Happy How's to
everything?
Be here.
I'm happy you're here. How's everything going?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it just started raining. That's always good news around here.
Yeah, I've had it. Up here, it's really getting to me. Weather's been, I'm sorry guys, I keep complaining about it, but I'm at the breaking point.
It snowed again yesterday for you?
No snow yesterday.
Oh,
snow's
okay.
All gone.
Okay.
But man, it just rains all day, and it stops, and the sun comes out at 5:45, and then it's nighttime.
And then
It's cold in the mornings. I still got a fire going. I'm down to like the last of my firewood. So I had a bunch stacked and I burned it all up. And then I had a bunch that I left out in the rain because I didn't have any place to stack it when I got that cord of wood. And so I've been out in the rain for like 2 months. We burned through that other cord, the rest of the cord pretty quick. And now I stacked all the other stuff. So now I'm burning wet wood. But
make it smoky.
It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit harder to get going. But I got a whole little system that I do to warm it up. I get it going with kindling, and then I have some of it I split from the last fire, and I put it on top of the stove when it's burning hot, so it's dry for when I start the next one. And then I put wood in the fire, and then I put the next piece on top of the stove, and it warms, it dries it out.
Yeah.
Cool. So, but yeah, other than that, just getting stuff done around the house, and finished up our bedroom back in there. It's really nice.
Really looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, guys, I think if you go to my personal Instagram page, all screwed up, all underscore screwed with a K underscore up, you can see the bedroom transformation. It's really impressive. Yeah, it feels good. It's all done.
And especially seeing the photo, I don't know if this is on your Instagram, the photo of when you first saw the house when the other people were still living in there.
I went on Redfin. If you look up my house on Redfin, you can get the RMLS photos still. They're still on there that they had the listing photos. And that's the bedroom. That was like how they cleaned up the bedroom for the photos. I think there's 3 or 4 cat towers in there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You know, because cats get tired of climbing the same condo. They need multiple condos.
Yeah, there was only 3 cats here, but there was 4 cat towers in that photo.
It's really crazy.
So it's not a large bedroom, you know. But other than that, not much else. I kind of talked about it on the last show with John Joseph, which was cool. I'm glad I got to talk to him. He was it wasn't much of an interview on my part. I just wound him up and let him go for an hour. Did you get a chance to listen to that one?
No, not yet.
So John Joseph is the lead singer of the Cro-Mags.
Oh, okay.
And they're like a famous hardcore band, and he's like 60 years old now, but he's like a crazy vegan.
Triathlete
guy, but he is like the real deal. New York. He like was like a foster kid who ran away from foster care in New York City in the 70s, and like lived in burned out squats on the Lower East Side when it was like still a scary place. And yeah,
really.
So, yeah, if you guys get a chance, go get his book. He said it's on Audible too, or it's in audio format. It's called Evolution of a Cro-Mag. It's thick, but it's a page turner. It's really a really good book. It's sad when you get down to it and think about like how he had to grow up as a kid, but it's really good. And it was a thrill to get him on. And he's just he just kind of came at us with an hour and 20 minute yelling at us with an East Coast style rant about everything that's going on, and it was pretty cool. So
that's very cool.
But yeah, we got three more. Oh, we got four more sheep since last time we've talked. Not that you don't know about already.
Okay. Yes.
But since we've talked on the show.
Yeah. So now you have.
So seven. We started out with the ewe, Laverne, mm-hmm. who was pregnant. She had her baby. A little ram named Lyle. And then we had the Weather, who's that little castrated male, and his name is Larry. So we got Larry thinking that we were going to eat him, and the woman we bought him from, Carmen, said, well, they like to have a friend with them. So if you want another I'll sell you one of those too. And then when she sold it to us, she found out she was pregnant like the day that she got him to us. So she gave birth to Lyle. So we had three. We're going to fatten up Larry and then, you know, do him in and eat him. But I found this lady up in Washington on Craigslist who sells dairy sheep. And we went up and checked out her farm one day, her whole little homestead. She has a lot of sheep. She's been raising them since she was 9, and she like really loves them. And she milks them. So we went up and checked them out one day, and she offered to sell us three of them, a mother and her two lambs, her two female lambs, who the mother is a hair sheep. She's not a dairy sheep. We could milk her, but she's not like she's not friendly. She won't let you like catch her. They're hard to catch. Uh-huh. But if you get dairy sheep when they're little baby girls like what we have to like take them away from their mom. We have to wean them, but we have to like give them treats and start being nice to them so they like let us like catch them, and then we can milk them when they're bred. So we got those three, the two little lambs and the mom. And then our neighbors sold us their ram, and yeah. So that's where we're at now. We got a little starter flock of seven.
That's so awesome.
And we decided we're going to Larry the Weather that we were going to slaughter. We're going to keep him around. He's a good buddy for the ram. So he made it out. He made it out for now.
Yes, Larry.
Yeah. But the ram's big, man. Like you look at him next to that other, next to Larry, and it's like a man and a little boy. It's like,
wow,
he's a big guy. He's like probably like 200 pounds.
Or wow. Something.
So
is he, well, I don't know. Can male sheep, I guess they can be dairy sheep. It's still,
we're not going to milk the ram.
Well, the ram won't produce milk, will it?
I mean, I drank bull's milk before.
You in the animal world, males produce milk.
Yeah, you can milk a bull. It's just, it's thicker milk.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're not kidding me, huh?
I mean, I tried it. I used my mouth to get the milk out of the bowl, and it was just thicker. It filled like my whole mouth up.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Wow. Okay.
You've never heard of bull's milk?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Never.
Huh. Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a thing unless somebody was pulling one over on me.
Okay. I'm just going to let it drop.
Okay, cool.
Like a mallet. I went to a show last night.
Was it the one that we got you for your birthday?
No, that's coming up. But Sebastian
Maniscalco?
No, from Viagra Boys.
All right.
Who was a friend of the family.
Yeah.
And he's touring and the band is touring. So they were at the Independent last night. And I'm telling you, I mean, you know, it's not my genre, but what a show.
Yeah, I got in a really good fist fight at that place once.
At the Independent?
Yeah, I lost my shoes. I beat this guy up so bad that I lost my shoes. I was not recovered back then yet.
Yeah, I figured.
But was it fun? I liked that, guys. I didn't think I'd like anything that Avery or Emily liked, and I listened to them, and they're pretty cool, man.
I think most of the musicians have a jazz background. They play jazz style, so it's very. I wouldn't even have the words to describe it, but it was fun.
Yeah. Cool.
Super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
So I would recommend if any of our listeners, like kind of, what would you call it?
I don't know. It's like kind of weird.
Punk.
It's like punk. It's just a weird genre. Yeah, he's got like a monotone voice. He's got a bunch of YouTube videos you can check out.
Yeah. Yeah. Check out Viagra Strange. Boys.
So he's American.
Yes.
But he's like a tattoo artist in Sweden now.
Correct.
Yeah. And they're pretty well known. I mean,
they tour
around the world. Yeah. I wonder if they played, you know, I drove into Portland today and I was on McLaughlin Boulevard, like on the way out from downtown about to our old house.
Uh-huh.
And I saw some stickers on one of the center dividers, and it said Viagra, Viagra, Viagra. And I was like, oh wow, I wonder if they were here recently or something. And then
they were in Seattle. I don't know if they were in Portland.
Yeah.
But they were in Seattle recently.
Yeah, I think a lot of bands, I think, skip Portland now just because it's such a hassle to play here, I think, you know.
Did I send you that Instagram? I think I sent it to Em. The guy said he goes to a restaurant in Portland, and on the menu they have grass-fed salmon. And then he just kind of looks at the camera and.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a goofy place. I went down there today. I ran some errands and went to Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's was still pretty mask heavy. I'd say 40% of the clientele and like 60% or 70% of the employees in masks. Mm. But, you know, nobody hassled me. So it was cool.
Yeah. Good.
I haven't been to like a grocery store outside of our area for so long. I just kind of was kind of stir crazy and wanted to see what was going on down there. And I don't know. Seems kind of normal. Who knows? So we're going to Puerto Rico.
Yes, I know.
I'm so lucky that things are turning out the way they are. But Emily was like, we have friends that live in Puerto Rico. They're crypto people and they live half the year down there, and because they're smart, they don't want to pay taxes, and they've got a bunch of properties. And so we just got to get there. And then I don't think we have to pay for anything to stay anywhere when we're there. That's... If we do, it's fine. We got the money, but I think we get like a whole like big house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God, and, you guys need, this is great. You haven't had.
Yeah, Emily and I went on vacation for 4 days to Puerto Vallarta, like 4 months into our relationship. So that would have been November of 2014, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We got married in, what's coming up, in 2017, right?
Yeah.
27th or 29th, what is it? 29th. Okay, cool. Thank 29th. You. And, right. Yeah, so that's, when is that? That's 9 days from now. So next.
Write that down. Write that down.
Yeah, I got it. And Yeah, we went to Palm Springs. We've been on a couple short vacations. Went down to visit my parents in Palm Springs. Went to 29 Palms. Got married, and then we went on a road trip last summer. But that's like the extent of our vacations together. So we're going to Puerto Rico for like 10 days.
Yes.
And then the mask mandate gets dropped right before. I thought it was going to be in place. I thought we were going to have to do it. I thought we were going to miss it by like a day or something, and then it got dropped yesterday or the day before. So that's
for the airlines also.
Yeah. Airlines and airports, nothing. Did you see any of the videos? They were dropping it. Pilots were coming over the intercom mid-flight and telling people,
take them off.
Yeah. So it didn't seem like there was much protest from the staff or most of the passengers, you know.
Yeah.
We got people like Valerie Jarrett, who's single-handedly responsible. Well, not single-handedly, but, you know, one of the main people who's responsible for the open air slave trades in Libya, putting up posts on Twitter saying like, I will wear my mask until who knows. And like everybody was just replying like, you know, that's always been an option. You know, you didn't have to.
Good for you. Yeah, go for it. Do it.
If masks work and if they worked for you during the pandemic, people should stay wearing them if they were into them, you know, back then. So, but I wonder if Chud X is coming, but who knows? What else is going on?
What else is going on? Not too much.
You had a big birthday.
I did.
You had to talk to Bart Sobral on your birthday. That was fun. Yes, right?
that was great. That was really great.
Show. People really liked that one.
Wow.
We got
super
some,
cool.
We got some good ones coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm excited. But let's see, what else? Yeah, we got one this weekend that you're gonna come on.
Yeah.
Our friend Allison, who I met at the Agenda meetup.
That's so great. Yeah. Yeah. I listened to that podcast. It was very informative.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that was before all the madness started, right before she interviewed Sherry Tenpenny and like at the end of 2019. And then all hell broke loose.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah.
What's it feel like? I don't really have a good handle on the situation because I'm stuck here most days, you know, kind of by myself. What's it feel like out in the world? Like, is it feel relaxed or good? Does it feel edgy? I mean, the Bay Area always, I think, kind of has that thick tension now, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Not so much here. I mean, being in the city last night, you know, the street was crowded. Divisadero.
Yeah, the Independence in a good spot, so you don't really gotta worry about it.
Yeah, but there was lots of, you know, lots of people on the street.
Yeah.
You know, they still have the outside restaurant parklets in place. They're all packed. We went, where did we go?
Are they still asking for masks at most places, or are they checking cards? Really? Nobody?
We went to a restaurant Saturday night in Petaluma.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah. Packed. That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think people are ready for it. The weather's going to get nice
and
everybody's, yeah. Well, hopefully at least they give us summer. Who knows? China's locking down again, but you know, they're wackos. So I don't know.
They wore masks prior to all of this, you know, just because their air quality
Asian
is
people,
so,
you know, like all the, like when I lived in East Oakland, you know, you see the little ladies walking around collecting cans on they all wore masks forever, you know. So it's yeah, it's crazy. Portland's pretty wild still. Who knows? I'm trying to stay out of there as much as possible. Emily's been having a little bit of trouble at her place of business. I don't know how much she wants me to get into it, but I think she's getting out of there and going to a better spot for her. And I'm really
Happy. Better even without all the
I mean, she's so good at her job that she's outgrown her little studio, and I'm really, really fortunate to
it's just so cool.
It's crazy, and I wonder sometimes if she knows how good she is at it, and how good of a businesswoman she is, you know.
Yeah, and just her demeanor, you know, she makes everybody comfortable, and just, you know, she's just a nurturer.
I'm really, really lucky. So I'm just so happy that I get to do everything with her, and that we're on the same page, and that we came from both of us were on the same page when we lived in the city and thought that that's what we wanted. And, you know, it took a little nudging to get her out. But when we finally did, I mean, we thought we lived out in the country when we lived in the suburbs, you know, and then we end up out here. It's crazy.
I couldn't have been more shocked.
And really, the fact that, you know, if she, like, when we looked at this house, I was ready to be like, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, when we looked at it and she came out and she's like, I think we should do it. I was like, really? And I'm so glad. I was like, I went in the house, you know, and I like walked around and looked at it when it was like, what was in those it's MLS so pictures. And
hard
to I was see. Like, I got to get out of here. And yeah. I went and looked around outside on the land. So,
and it's the land that.
Yeah, I mean, we bought the land, but our house is getting nice. I mean, one bedroom and 3/4 of the kitchen is really nice now. So.
So great.
Yeah.
Have they finished the wood, the
countertops? Mm-hmm. No, that they're still waiting on the stuff. It's all back ordered and stuff. So. Yeah. Scott's here. Should we just let him in?
Sure.
Okay. He is connecting to audio. Scott, are you there? Ooh. What's going on, bro? Are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello, hello?
Yeah, you got
me? Hold on. Let's see. Different background. We'll just roll with it.
Yeah. I hate talking before the podcast while I'm not recording.
Okay. Yeah, let's roll.
I never get it. I always, whenever people like want to talk before pressing the record button, it's just like, dude, we just like burned 20 minutes of gold.
Exactly.
and then when I'm done with the podcast, I don't want to like stop and talk anymore. I stop and I end the meeting and go to the bathroom.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Usually how it goes. It's kind of weird though. Like post podcast etiquette, I'm never sure. Like sometimes I've ended it right away, and then some people write back like, oh, I'm sorry, I must have clicked something. I'm like, no, that was me. I was trying to bail. Like I'm.
Yeah. I think some people are like thrown off by it and maybe offended sometimes. But if you're ever on my show and I just cut you off and get out at the end, it's not personal.
It's not personal, guys. Deborah, good to see you again. It's been
good
forever.
To see you.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Long time. Man, you guys have been in quite the journey since we last all connected.
Yeah. What's
we can laugh now.
Yes, great. I love it.
Scott.
Yes.
You, since since Deborah last saw you, you have left Truzilla, you have started Rebunked, and you have decided to leave the Beaver State of Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so a lot of developments. Yeah, new show.
Yeah.
New everything, pretty much. Like, new everything. Like, man.
How's the new show going, bro? I think probably everybody that listens to this show knows about your show, but Deborah might not, because she told me once she didn't really like you or Truthzilla and listen, you know. So okay. Tell her about Rebunked.
You can believe everything that comes out of his mouth about me, because it's all true.
That's hilarious.
No.
Yeah, so I ended up leaving the show back in January and started my own solo project. It's called Rebunked. And so the idea being that, you know, as I guess the premise of the show, the original idea, you know, it's obviously ventured off into other topics since then. But, you know, you've probably heard the term debunked, right? Everything, oh, that's debunked. That's debunked. You know, I come up with a crazy theory and it gets debunked, right? Well, now all those crazy theories are now being reported. Mainstream news, whatever, it's true, you know, factual, widely accepted. And so I came up with the term rebunked. Well, I didn't come up with it. I heard it somewhere, but applying that to all these stories that are now getting reported as true, I call it rebunked. So that was the premise of the show. We're highlighting all the wins and the victories, I guess you could say, just things that, like, vindication, right? Things that we've been banging our heads against the wall for the last, I mean, decades, but then really the last couple of years. And now they're like, okay, well, yeah, I guess you're right. And so it's like, ha, rebunked.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
You've had some fun guests, including me.
Yep.
And all sorts of guys. You had Richard Gage, you had Ryan, Christian. And so where are you headed to?
Okay, so let's see, day after tomorrow. And I know, dude, we were talking about me making it up there. It's time just escaped me.
No worries, man. I know it's way out of the way.
Yeah, I was originally going to go up through Portland, up through Idaho, but I'm going to be traveling with somebody and they want to go down through Arizona because they're moving to Texas and I'm moving to Tennessee. And,
yeah.
So we kind of timed both of our trips to kind of converge and go basically. So I'm leaving Friday morning. You know, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but Friday the 22nd. And then that night we're going to Tahoe. So we're going from, I'm meeting them in Roseburg. We're going from Roseburg to Tahoe and then Tahoe to Vegas. I'm going to catch up with Steve from Slow News Day. He's got his new studio set up down in Vegas and doing an in-studio podcast with him Sunday morning. And then we're heading to Sedona. And then it's kind of up in the air from there. I believe we're heading like probably New Mexico-ish. And then I'm going to go check out Austin, go hang out in Austin, Texas for a little bit, and then arrive at Float Fest the day before Float Fest in Goss, Texas. And so we're going to be there with, like, I mean, you name it. It's going to be pretty epic.
Yeah, that's going to be rad, man.
What's Float Fest?
Float Fest is there's an app.
Deborah, we had
the young couple.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure.
Sure. So yeah, in addition to all of their amazing work in their little social media app, they're also putting together this big festival. It's just all these people, probably a lot of people that have been on this show are going to be there. A lot of people that I've interviewed that never have had the chance to meet are going to be there. It's a really, really awesome experience. You know, a lot of folks that I look up to quite a bit, people that I it's going to be a great networking opportunity. And then just just like a 5-day just learning, hanging out, camping out type of experience. So, and really, it's gonna be good. And then from there, I'm pretty much heading northeast and relocating to Nashville, Tennessee. And I have a place already. I put down a listener. It's hilarious. Like a listener, shout out to Judd if you're listening to this, like reached out to me and said, "Hey, man, you need a couch to crash on while you're looking for a place. Like, let me know." I'm like, "Okay, yeah." And then, oh, it's funny. So we were looking for, I was looking for a place with a friend that's already out there, you know, a friend that's in recovery. So it was all good. And they'd left earlier this year, like a few months ago or whatever, a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure exactly when they got there, but we've been in touch and we were originally going to get a place together. And they've been doing the legwork, looking for apartments or like renting a house. Like, surprisingly, I guess it's pretty expensive out there. It's kind of surprising. Like, once, if you're like in the city, it's pretty expensive. So we were thinking maybe going in together on a house or an apartment or something would be more feasible. But even that is just ridiculous. So we did apply for this one place and the rental property person came back and said, I disclosed that I have some felonies, right? So I'm in recovery. I made some poor decisions in my past and like, it hasn't really been an issue out here in Oregon. And then like the career I've worked in as a drug and alcohol counselor, like they encourage a lot of like the type of background that I have. It's like, great. That's awesome. Get in here. You're perfect. So it's never been an issue, but apparently like we applied at some places and like the rental people freaked out and really it's just like, and I've talked about it on my show. It's not like that big of a deal to me anyway. And I've since changed my life, you know, for the good, but anyway, it was just kind of the first time that my record really ever popped up and become an issue. Like again, and as of recently, and it's just like, so we decided to go ahead and go our separate ways and look for a place, because I didn't want to hold them up and keep them from being able to get a place just because of my record and all that. So anyway, but I found a place, and from a listener, actually a listener reached out, and that went from having a couch to crash on to, he's like, oh, I've actually got a room that, you know, I haven't even put online, but it's available if you want it. I'm like, all right, cool. So we're good. I got a place to land, and we'll kind of go from there. So.
Awesome, man. Deborah, have you ever been to Tennessee?
I have never been to Tennessee.
I haven't either. I've heard good things. I've also heard that it's quickly becoming the next Austin, Texas, though.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. So I originally was looking at Chattanooga, which is down in like the southeast corner of Texas, or excuse me, of Tennessee, primarily because I got into their little Freedom Cell group. So they have like a Freedom Cell Discord that's just like off the hook. Like they're doing meetups like all the time, and they seem to be just really vibrant and really doing big things. So that was my main draw there. And I was going to go originally to Chattanooga. And then I've actually got an opportunity in Nashville. I don't want to get too much into it. Adam, I can maybe tell you offline, but like, yeah, dude. So I'm basically like going to Nashville, just chasing opportunity. So, you know, I just want to get my bearings. Like eventually I want to get like outside the city. Like obviously long-term is to get some property and do what you're doing, dude. But, you know,
how far, do you have any idea what it's like there? Like how far outside the city do you have to go till you could get 5 acres?
I'm not sure. I have not looked into that, but again, I've been networking with people there, primarily through Freedom Cells, and it sounds like, you know, there's stuff, but it's like one of those things that you kind of gotta be there and get to know the people and like meet them face to face. I feel kind of like
always better.
Yeah, so yeah, man, it's quite the adventure. It's pretty exciting. Like this is like, man, so tomorrow's literally my last full day in Oregon. This
last podcast
that I'm recording on Oregon soil right here.
Nice, man. Besides the obvious, you know, regular Oregon tyranny, was there anything else that kind of molded your decision to get out?
I've been wanting to get out for a while. Up until just very recently, like I just had all these attachments. Like I was in a band, right? And then that kind of fell away. And I talked about that too, but it was basically just like I was so busy, like with work and the podcast and everything, that it was kind of a mutual decision amongst all of us. I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna, I'll just go. Like it's all right, no big deal, right?
Yeah.
So, but that was a very important, that was a hard decision. You know, it was tough because that was a big part of my life. And you know, they're the ones that kind of like sat me down and said, dude, you gotta figure shit out. And so I took off, you know what I mean? And then the podcast fell away. And so like, I'm looking at my life and I'm just like, dude, I have like zero attachments here now. Like I kind of owe it to myself. Like it's let's do this. So a plan started to formulate in my head. I started to go like, okay, so what's this going to look like? And I was looking at Florida. Obviously I was looking at Texas. I was looking at Oklahoma. I've got some friends in Missouri. You know, I wasn't sure exactly where to go, but I just had a really just strong urge to get out, you know? So pretty much the main reason, what originally settled me on Tennessee was, like I said, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor by trade. That's what I'm certified to do. That's been my career for the last several years, something I have a lot of passion for. And it suddenly became no longer available to me here in Oregon because of the injections, the shots. Like I refused the shots and that pretty much all fell away because of that. Again, it's a long story on that one, but long story short, you know, I've been just working at like this countertop fabrication shop and wanted to get back to doing something like that, something productive. And so I was looking at all the different states and their certifications and like what I would take to do what I'm doing here, there. And it's surprising that like places like Oklahoma, Florida, and Texas, you have to have like a bachelor's degree. Well, you have to have a bachelor's degree, except in Florida, I think it's an associate's degree. So yeah, so I'd have to like go back to school and like get a degree to do what I'm doing here currently, which is frustrating. So Tennessee, however, they're very similar type of certification as to Oregon. And I feel like it's almost like they have like reciprocity to where I can just pretty much walk in and do what I'm doing. So I've applied for jobs out there, but you know, I'm kind of just, you know, going out with a bunch of faith. I got some money right now, so I'm not really too stressed about work immediately. And that's just like, yeah, that luckily that countertop fabrication shop, like they were giving us just loads of overtime. So the last couple of months I've just been like 60 hours a week working, like just crazy. So
yeah. Have you been to Nashville before?
No, I've never been to that part of the country at all. Like really the only part of the South I've been to is like Orlando when I was a kid to go to Disney World. And so I don't feel like I have any concept of what to expect. But again, like you said, Adam, everything I've heard is just fantastic, phenomenal, like
super, yeah,
like just amazing. So
yeah, hopefully you can get in there before it gets all played out, because I've heard it's a fantastic place and there's a ton of homesteaders there. Yeah. And yeah, I think it probably has like a nice mix of Southern hospitality mixed with kind of an urban setting. And I think it's going to be a nice, it's going to be a big change probably.
Yeah.
But have you ever seen a black person?
Oh, so long. No, I'm just, yeah, no, yeah, 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 yeah.
Pretty
awesome.
Well, can we address the elephant in the room?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Okay. Now, you were one third of Truthzilla, a podcast that you started and built up from the ground, from nothing, into a pretty successful little show in our little genre of second rate conspiracy podcasts, man. And you were kind of, I heard you guys and got inspired because I found out there was Oregonians, you know, doing the same thing that I was wanting to do. I heard you guys on an early Union of the Unwanted and reached out to you, and you guys gave me the motivation to get going, you specifically, I think. And you guys did what, 150 episodes, something like that?
I think it was 120.
About a year and a half span. Yeah. Yep. But then you had like a ton of bonus shit and stuff. Yeah, yeah. So it was like way more than 120. And you guys kind of dissolved the show. What happened?
Pretty much it was just like, you know, we ran into this roadblock where we all had a different idea of what to do next. And
I've heard you say this before. Can you get into it any deeper than that?
I mean,
and if you want to tell me to go fuck myself.
No, it's fine. I mean, really, that's the biggest thing, man. Like, you know, I don't want to get into anything against anybody or point any fingers. You know what I mean? Like, it was really the only thing that could happen was me leaving. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't, what I was trying to do wasn't working, and what everyone else wanted to do wasn't working for me. And so that was it. That was really it, man. And I'm just like, you know, at first it started off as me saying, okay, I'm just going to take a break. I'm going to step away. You know, I'm going to let this just work itself out. And then in that too, you know, that even created some conflict. And so even then I was just like, you know, I'm just going to go. And it seemed to me like the equitable thing to do, like, you guys can just keep all this stuff and you can keep the franchise, and I'm just going to take this and go. You know what I mean? Like, I kept the TRS heavy metal detox promotional thing, like we do, because we were what do you call it, affiliates, you know what I mean, for this, yeah, heavy metal detox thing. And so, like, when people make a purchase through that Truth TRS thing, it's a website that I built, and then we get like the commissions for it, basically, right? So, you know, I'm on the show saying like, hey, this is our sponsor, but really it's like a website that I built, and it's kind of like our back end. You know what I mean? So it's like a way to earn passive income through just talking about it on the show. You know, I said, I'm going to keep this, but you guys can literally keep everything else, all the equipment, the franchise, everything. And, you know, to me, that was like the most equitable thing. And, yeah, I don't know, man. And so I just like, and then, but at that point I wasn't even sure about starting a new show. Like, I wasn't even sure what that was going to look like. Like, I just was so demoralized, you know, like, I just didn't know what life was without it. You know, like you said, I built this thing up from the ground up, and then like my identity was so attached to it that I wasn't sure what life would be like without it. So it was for like a week, maybe. It was just like, it was like a breakup, like the worst breakup you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's weird. I don't even want to podcast a lot of the time. It's just something I do now, you know. Like, I want to, and I get to talk to all these awesome people, and I get to hang out with Deborah and stuff. But yeah, it's just like, it's just something that I do. If I didn't do it, I think it would be very strange, and I'd feel even more isolated. So
yeah, man, it's like, that's exactly it. Like, I couldn't picture not doing it. You know, I could not fathom what that would be like. And so I had to get back on. And it's funny, I haven't talked about this too lately, but like the idea of like, you know, I was thinking about just doing like a normie type podcast. I was like doing a, like a recovery based podcast. That was my original idea.
Yeah.
Just do a show about recovery, right? That's it. Get a YouTube channel and just, you know, just not rock the boat and just like, you know, maybe that'll turn into something that would be, you know, some sort of career. But then I'm like, no, what are you thinking? No, you got to just get right back in it. Just jump right back in, right back in the ring. So here we are.
Yeah, it would be so awesome to make a living doing this. But I mean, the percentage of people that actually do that out of the percentage of podcasts that are going, and like, I mean, we're both well over, you know, almost 2 years into this, and I, you know, I'm not making any money or anything like that. It's just something I do for fun. It costs me money, you know. I don't know.
You wouldn't want to do the kind of podcast that would pay.
Yeah.
Big
bucks. I guess if you're trying to get paid, yeah. Conspiracy is not that's the thing. It's like when I see all these people that are like trying to grift and like rip people off in the conspiracy world, it's like, you know, there's way better places to do this, like people that actually have money that you can be ripping off, you know.
I know, I've seen that too, like behind the scenes, like you people out there listening, you have no idea what goes on behind the scenes in this crazy little community, dude. It's freaking nuts.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it fleshes itself out like super fast though. Like, I mean, I was like a couple months into it, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just funny, just a little.
I know who you are. Yeah. And you're, I know what you are. I'll never talk to you again. I know what you are.
Yeah.
You're not that bad, but I know what you are, you know, like, you know, so yeah.
Everyone's a shill. It's hilarious.
You know, there's people that, I mean, if you're like a big name, most people get called a shill, and some of them, I believe Charlie Robinson is not a shill. I've never heard him called one. So he's like, and him and William Ramsey, those are like the guys that will never be shills in my book, man. But all the other big names I've heard called before, and I believe, some I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Like some of the biggest of the biggest of the biggest names, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I get it. I get the arguments. You know, it's funny too, like along those lines too, I was actually applying and looking for jobs, just like typing in, like, you know, some of the skills I have, like video editor or stuff like that. And like, there are like jobs available out there, but it's all with like the Boston Globe or like some CBS affiliate or something like that. And like, I'm like,
Yeah. Washington Post. You should go work for the WAPO.
Totally, dude. I'm not above it. You know, I could Trojan horse myself in there, you know.
What's going on with this girl? Do you know this whole story? This girl that's like, she doxed libs of TikTok or something like that.
I don't know the story. No. I just have literally just subscribed to like libs of TikTok not too long ago, like just a few days ago. And I was looking through the page, looking for all these crazy liberals that apparently are on there. And it was just nothing but apparently this Washington Post reporter that like doxed her. And now she got doxed. And now she's like, I don't know what. She's like crying because she got doxed or something. Like,
I don't know. Who knows?
Taste your own medicine type of thing.
Yeah. It's doxed.
Oh, doxing. Okay, so doxing, that's an old internet thing, and it comes in a variety of forms, but it's like dox, doxx. I remember there used to be a website on the dark web called doxbin, doxbin. It's basically when you're trying to maintain a certain level of anonymity online, right? You know, let's say you're trying to be completely like a crow 777, like completely anonymous, right? Or you know, you just want to have some, everybody has an expectation of privacy. I mean, even though we're on the internet still, you know, we have some level of expectation of privacy, but it's when somebody who doesn't like you for whatever reason or has an issue with you goes out of their way to publish all of your personal information, like in a very way. So, you know,
it's like when they give out Tucker Carlson's address and like Antifa shows up and like bangs drums on his porch, you know, that's getting doxxed.
Yeah. And then I've heard of things like financial stuff, like just like all kinds of crazy stuff. Like there's definitely, you know, it crosses the line into like very nefarious, dark, evil, illegal. Uh-huh.
Quickly, yeah,
you know,
back in the old days, it would have been when you found like the teacher's the book with all the teachers' phone numbers in it.
Ooh.
We got that once when I was a kid. Man, we got all, man, a good Friday night when I was in like fourth, fifth grade, you know, it was like way too much like
sugar.
Like Red Vines and the dipsticks, you know, the Lick-O-Maids. just like snorting those and like just eating the sticks and making prank calls. That was fun times, man.
Like even just finding out your teacher's first name, it's like, oh, gotcha. Yeah. And yeah, now what the kids are learning about their teachers, dude, like,
whoa. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? What, Deborah, what do you think of, what have you, what's your opinion on the Don't Say Gay bill, the so-called Don't Say Gay bill? Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I'm not following it at all.
Well, that's probably pretty smart.
Yeah. It just, I mean, it seems pretty stupid to me.
Yeah, it's labeled that, but it's just, I mean, all it says is that you can't like teach sex ed
to
preschoolers, you know. You can't it's like you can't teach sex ed till fourth grade, pretty much is what it is. It has nothing to do with being gay or anything like that. And then like,
yeah, it's then stupid.
We have Pete Buttstuff's husband, who's a kindergarten teacher.
Buttigieg?
Yeah, sorry. It like saying how, I don't even know what he's saying online, but he's saying like, how is he going to talk about his family? You know, people are going to commit suicide now. He needs to be able to tell his students what he did during the weekend. Just like, no, you don't, you know,
you need
to tell kids to pick up the blocks.
Right.
And to like
clock the erasers together.
If a kid's holding his junk, tell him to go to the bathroom. You know?
So when I was in, I think it was seventh grade for sex education in my day.
Yeah, health and class is what health, they called it.
Well, they had a special program in the evening that you attended with one or both of your parents. And awkward. I remember, talk about awkward. And I was sitting behind this guy who was, you know, I didn't really have guy friends in the seventh grade. It was, anyway, sitting behind Roger.
Roger's a hunk.
Whatever. Anyway, Roger's dad in the middle of it, we're sitting, you know, on the aisle in this auditorium, the school auditorium, and he leans over and Ralph's in the middle of this. And it was like, whoa,
just because he couldn't take the images of the fallopian tubes or something, so, or whatever,
heavy, I don't want it. Yeah,
so like the vast scarred deference me. And then Roger's dad throws up.
Yeah. Scarred me.
Yeah, you know, Emily still keeps in contact with our across the street neighbor, our old across the street neighbor from when we lived close to Portland. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how something happened at their school with some kid being like over-sexualized or something. And then they were going to have the kids in the grade that you are when you're 7 years old.
Second grade. Probably.
And they had a sex ed course coming up, but because this happened in the classroom, they needed to like move it up and teach these kids sooner. So even if, you know, they're in Portland public schools, they're teaching kids at 7 years old about sex ed. I don't know. That seems early to me.
Well, when Emily, and I told her this story recently, she didn't remember it, but when she was in first grade in, you know, public school, and they have the little tables that are, you know, kid size, so they're lower. And one of the little boys would position himself on the corner, the rounded corner of the table, and have at it. And soon, all the little boys were doing this. And I was, you know, friendly with the teacher. I helped her, you know, mom helper. And she came to me and she said, I have to write this letter and send it home to all the little boys because they're just, you know, they're just obsessing about this corner of the table and they're all just, yeah. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, you know, all that's like pretty normal stuff that probably happens like in a public school setting. Like some kid's gonna like pull his dong out and like, you know that kid gets to probably needs to go to the principal's office and they say like, hey, don't do that, you know, and then that's that. And then the kids like keep going to school And then they get to sixth grade and they teach them how babies are made. And that's pretty good, you know, in my opinion. They teach you a little bit about birth control, maybe, you know, what to look for if you're, you know, like the all that those cauliflower pictures, you know. You ever see the cauliflower pictures?
No. I don't believe I did, but
why are you so quiet, Scott?
I'm listening.
You didn't have sex ed at your school?
Oh,
were you a Seventh Day Adventist?
I'm trying to remember. It was like sixth or seventh grade or something. It was very like, I don't even really remember. I don't remember the cauliflower thing though.
Our football coach, Dan Boyette, he would walk around the health class and he had like these big, like poster board size photos of like chlamydia, you know, under a microscope or whatever.
Oh my God.
And I remember one time I was reading in the health book and it was just like, it's a common misconception that if you've had unprotected sex and you don't want to get pregnant, that you can douche the next day with a Pepsi bottle. It's just like, you know, it was like these old books from the 70s, you know, like, I don't know. I never heard that.
Well, one of the things that I came across recently, and this is kind of shocking and disturbing, and it's this guy named Alfred Kinsey. Have you guys ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
The Kinsey Report.
Yeah, and he's just held up on a pedestal in left-wing circles, and he was a fucking child rapist.
That's it. So, like
really?
Came across his work recently.
HBO made like a movie about him, and it was like a funny, you know, historical doc. It wasn't a documentary. It was like with actors, but it was like a historical telling of his story and like how he like just like got these women to like masturbate to like figure stuff out. It's like, no, he was raping hundreds of children.
Wow. Listen to this. So here's where I came across it, and I started doing research about it. On the last little live stream I did, I kind of did like a surface level like topic. coverage of this topic, and I want to do a more deeper dive, maybe make like a little feature documentary. But yeah, man, so apparently like his work, Alfred Kinsey, he was like, let's see, born 1894 through 1956. They said he's a zoologist, entomologist, biologist, founded the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender, and Reproduction. Anyway, I guess a lot of his work kind of influenced how like sex education is taught. His theory of childhood sexuality, blah, blah, blah. So I guess his controversy came about in his paper he published called Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, which was in 1948. And there's a thing called Table 34. Table 34 is the controversy. Now, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, I don't even want to get into this, but this is like insane. He has a little chart and a table of basically like causing orgasms in children all the way as young as 5 months. And he has a table showing on the left age of kid, and then on the next column is number of orgasms achieved all the way down to 5 months. And he has like four-year-old listed with 26 orgasms listed. So he's over there like, I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean or what the hell that's even supposed to be. But this is where the controversy comes from. Like, what the hell, dude? What? I don't know. I just don't even know.
Yeah, and I think he was pretty heavily involved with all those eugenicists and stuff like that. What else? I saw that episode. I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet. What else did you discover?
It was
about kind of this whole new grooming thing, right?
Yeah, it's basically just, you know, how a lot of, well, I mean, I didn't see, like I said, I didn't really go too deep into it, but just the idea that, you know, this his research and his insights are basically what kind of formulated the curriculum that we all knew, which is just insane, man. Like, I don't know. And they say, so now they try to like cover up his tracks. Like the Kinsey Institute, they came out with like an official statement covering his tracks, saying like, well, no, he wasn't actually like sitting in a lab, like doing things to kids to achieve orgasm, but they got all that data from like a pedophile's journal somehow. Like they were able to like extract that information from a journal. Like,
yeah, it was his journal writing under a pen name, probably though.
Yeah, probably. So,
and why would anybody take, you know, whatever a pedophile would say in his journal as a good resource material?
Exactly. How is this good, credible scientific information? I mean, that's like Fauci science right there, man. Jesus.
Yeah. It's gross, right, man.
So I don't know. It just struck me as just shocking that, you know, I mean, And what, like, I get the idea of like educating kids about like the sex stuff, like, you know, like when I was like in seventh grade, I think it was, you know, I mean, it makes sense, but maybe, but you know, at what point does it cross the line into like just like grooming type behavior, right? Like just to, you know, it's no longer about like education, it's more about indoctrination, right? I mean, isn't that what the issue is? To me,
it seems. Yeah, I think it's when you're teaching kids who like can't. Yeah. It's pretty easy to make a five-year-old do whatever you want, you know, and you can get real dark with that real quick, but that's not what I'm talking about. But sure, you know, sure. I mean, you can make your kid like your, you know, your favorite baseball team, you know, you can do anything you want. You can make a kid believe the earth is flat, we didn't go to space, you can do whatever, you know, it's, you know, they're really impressionable. And that's where this whole grooming thing comes in. And it's, James Corbett was just on the Pete Quinones show.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that
out. And it's called like Transgender to Transhumanism. Mm. And it's really good. I mean, it's beyond what I can. I mean, it's James Corbett. It's
sure.
Beyond, like, as a super nerd, it's beyond what I can explain. But, you know, I mean, they talk about how James Corbett says that it's not like this. He said he's talking more about transgenderism being a road to transhumanism, because it's just like, it just lumps everybody into like one category. You're just everything, you know, you're not male, you're not female, you're just everything. And then they can just have everybody in one bucket, you know? And, but they were talking about how, it's just like these people that are, you know, like on libs of TikTok, all these elementary school teachers who are hysterically crying because they can't tell their kindergarten students about their lesbian wife, you know, they're not having kids. They want kids. So they're going to take your kids. Mm. And they also talked about how it's just like, it's a way to end. It's a way to depopulize the world's population without having to line people up against a wall, is to like, you know, make people so they don't reproduce, because totally. gay people don't have kids, and transgender people get their hormones all screwed up when they're 11 years old, and like, you know, they're not having kids. So
was he reporting this, or was he
I mean, James Corbett's a genius.
Yeah.
And he's just talking about kind of what all the data that he's found, and like going back into, you know, all these crazy documents from the government that he's uncovered, and what people are talking about, and how it really, but he was saying that that's, you know, kind of just a drop in the bucket that's happening, but the whole transhumanism thing is the goal of these, you know, global elites that we don't even know who they are. And he's talking about how people who are like in Davos and the Bilderberg group and all that, like, they're, even if they're billionaires, they're still kind of like the managerial class. He said, I don't even know who's, you know, in charge of them, but somebody's in charge of them. They're taking orders from somebody. So James Corbett's fantastic, man. He gets right up to the hairy edge of going real wild, and then we'll like stop and back up everything he's saying with like perfect evidence, you know. And that's like something. I mean, it's not as fun as what I do, you know, and just call everybody like a pedophile lizard person, but you know, like,
Your odds are the type of people we talk about, you know, they're pedophile lizard people. Sorry.
Yeah. It's wild. Did you, Charlie Robinson just did the Clinton body count. It was pretty awesome.
Oh dude. Okay. I need to check that out. So I'm way behind. I've been so busy running around doing stuff. I'm way behind on my podcast, but that's fine. I've got to download a bunch for going through all these areas of no cell service on the road here. So I'm stoked.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Road trips are fun, man. Like, you're going to, so you got a little bit of money in the bank, right?
Yep.
And you got a place to stay. Mm-hmm. So, and you got like no, but you don't have a job. So you don't, no gotta job. Be, you
I'm
don't
have. I'm waiting to hear. I've been interviewing for this remote job. And I've had 3 freaking interviews, and it's like, it would, if I can land it, dude, it would be so epic. But I'm
but you can take a little bit of time getting out there, and and man, that's a good feeling, man. So are you done working?
Done working. Yeah. My last day was like, it was like a couple weeks ago.
You're just getting packed up and
I've been like just downgrading. I'm down to just like, I got to do, I got a 2013 Toyota Tacoma. So I got a new to me truck, and basically got it down to whatever I could fit in the bed there.
That's good.
That's it.
Not no trailer. No.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's just me and my pickup.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man. It's going to be so much fun, and Float Fest is going to be a rad. How long are you going to stay there?
I'm planning on staying the whole time. It's April 29th through May 3rd. So anybody listening, you still got time. Come hang out in Float Fest, baby.
Yeah, that sounds good. Come on, man. I'm going to be in Puerto Rico. Sorry, man.
Oh, dude, roll. Well, what the heck? Have you ever been there?
No.
Dude, how'd that come about? That's so cool.
Well, I met some guy who's like a crypto dude.
Yeah.
Freedom Cells.
Nice.
Back when like when the Portland Freedom Cells thing was still like sort of okay.
Yeah.
Before it was like a commie Antifa group. You know, I met this guy, and he does the 6 months in Puerto Rico deal to avoid taxes. Nice. And he's a crypto dude with a bunch of real estate. Wow. And they just had a little baby. And so they're coming back. He has a house in Northeast Portland that he lives 6 months of the year at. So they're coming back soon for the summer. They come back for the summer here. So he's going to come back soon, but we just haven't had a vacation forever. And,
or a honeymoon.
Yeah. We never got a honeymoon. Emily was stacking money away from her business to pay taxes. And she ended up not having to pay a ton of taxes. So she's like, let's go. Let's just go do it. She just booked flights. And I was like, okay, don't twist my arm, you know? And then like it all lines up, like the mask mandate ends right before. So we don't got to wear a mask on. I never had to wear a mask on a plane. I'm not putting it past them to just put that right back into place as soon as possible. But
Yeah,
I'm just really excited. I'm going to go to Puerto Rico and go to the beach. And these guys own like a 300-acre like farm. So I don't think there's any structures on it. I think we're going to stay. They have like a big house that we're going to stay at that's nobody's in right now, that we're going to have to ourselves for a couple days. I think we're going to go out to this property, which is like a couple hours away from that, and camp for a little bit. There's like waterfalls there and stuff. I'm just going to eat a bunch of pork and like... I'm excited, man.
Wow. So I don't know, and it's kind of one of those weird deals where it's like, it's technically America, you don't need a passport. It's like, well, you know, right?
Yeah, I don't have a passport anymore. I let it lapse. I should go get one while they'll still let me get one, you know?
Yeah,
I should like go do all like the clerical stuff that I don't want to wear a mask to do. I should just go get it all done right now, you know?
Very, very good point.
Yep. Gotta get all your dentist appointments out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This is just such a weird time, because it's like, at the same time, we see all these agendas brewing on the horizon, but it's like, they're not just gonna let it go back to normal. Like they just can't. Like, we almost have this like reverse normalcy bias where we're so used to having things be so dark and crazy that it's just like the fact that we've been cheering and fighting for all these things, but now that they're happening, it's like, man, wait a minute.
Yeah, our baseline is to like be worried and scared now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, we don't know what normal is anymore.
This is the new normal, baby.
Oh, you said it.
God. I mean, I'll take it, but man, it's almost kind of just ominous. It's like this big, just waiting for the other shoe to just come crashing
down. Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, we got this election coming up. I mean,
what, the midterms?
Yeah, this quote unquote election, like, who was it? Someone was saying, I was listening to something. It was just like, okay, this October, baby, watch out. Like, you get some food, get some freaking resources, make sure that you're ready to hunker down by October. There's no way to let this thing go off.
Like, yeah, like, why? Just, they're predicting like this gigantic red wave, right?
I mean, yeah, that's what they're saying. I mean, it just seems like at this point, like, come on now. Like, at least take a look at your local community. Like, good Lord, you guys, come on.
Yeah, that's kind of why I try to stay grounded a little bit in some of the Liberty shows I still listen to, is because I think there's still, you know, I mean, local politics, I think makes a big difference. And I think, I don't know. I think stuff, I don't think everything's an op, even though I say it a lot, you know, I mean, it's wild. I mean, if all that happens, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that Portland gets lit on fire again.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine if Portland like goes red or Oregon goes red? Like, I don't know, man. I went to that Reawaken America tour thing here, and like it was pretty cool. Like, they had like a few governor candidates there, and like, I don't know, man. It was like,
is that guy from Alsea there?
Yeah, he was there.
Is he running for governor?
Yeah. I can't remember his name. Oh, Mark Thielman, I think.
Yeah,
which is all right. I mean,
governor of Oregon.
Yeah,
he's gonna
replace Brown.
Well, hopefully somebody replaces. Is Kate Brown's tenure up? She can't. So I wonder who they're gonna wheel out from that side to replace her.
You know, that's the funny thing is I haven't heard a peep out of any like Democratic candidate at all. That's crazy. Like, they're just assuming that maybe it's like the same thing with Biden. Like, they didn't do shit with Biden because they were like, well, we know he's going to win. I mean,
yeah, it's just that it's like the Nancy. I mean, Deborah, have you ever voted for Nancy Pelosi? She's just there.
Yeah.
It's just a lifetime appointment. Yeah, it's just a given. She's the queen of San Francisco.
And Dianne Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein used to be Barbara Boxer. Isn't Dianne Feinstein's like 90 years old?
She's 86.
I think 88.
Okay, you may be right. I know she's not quite 90, but
she's losing it.
She's losing it.
What is her title? She's a senator?
Mm-hmm. And she has more to give.
That's so wild. More to give. Like, man, when your parents are 88 years old, you're just like, okay, mom.
Yeah, let's
not drive anymore. Give me the keys. You know,
feed you your pablum.
Sit in your chair. And here's Price is Right.
Watch Lawrence Welk reruns.
Yeah. it's so crazy that that's like the baseline now is just that we think these people need to be, they're all seven. I mean, no offense, Deborah, they're all 70 years old.
Like, mm-hmm. I know that's wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
But where are the young people? They don't, nobody with an ounce of smarts wants to go into politics.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They had, we had on Hannity earlier tonight, and there was
the worst.
He is bad, but every so often we just,
well, he's not the worst, but I mean, he's just as bad as everybody else.
Yeah.
Was he wearing his Ukraine and CIA pin?
Oh, I didn't notice. We just had it on for just a second, and he was talking about Biden and having a rally in New Hampshire that 36 people showed up for.
Did you see it when he shook hands with Casper the Ghost?
No.
Oh,
wait,
man.
Wait, Biden or Hannity?
Biden.
I heard about an air handshake.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, like I said, you gotta, I mean, at some point, I mean, I can't feel sad for the guy. I mean, I hope he dies a terrible death. I mean, I know, but he's a bad, bad guy. Did you see that weird Easter Bunny thing, Scott?
Okay, I did. I saw a picture of them all with masks on. Was that Photoshop or did they actually have masks on? I don't know.
He was not wearing a mask from what I saw.
This must have been some stupid meme.
Was this like the White House Easter?
Yeah, the Easter Bunny. Like, he was like talking, like Brandon was like talking to the crowd.
Oh, yeah, the Easter Bunny.
And the Easter Bunny had to like come corral him and like grab him by the shoulder and like tap him on the butt and tell him where to go.
Well, that's Secret Service. All those Easter bunnies were like Secret Service. That's hilarious, man.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's the new guy's gotta wear the bunny suit.
Jim, you gotta be the bunny this year, man. Sorry.
Yeah, I remember next year there'll be somebody else, but you have to do it this year.
What do you think? You think he's gonna make it?
Oh man, well, I hope because you know what? I've been saying this forever, man. They've got the table set for this insane false flag operation, and what better way to kill all their birds in one stone than to take him out, right? And then blame it on all the Trump people, blame it on all the concern, all the anti-vaxxers, right? Complete martial law, complete lockdown.
Or does it happen because of this laptop?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they can't be having this laptop problem in the way. So if they can orchestrate some situation where that whole problem goes away, then that would serve their agenda to the best. But I hope Biden lives a long, happy, healthy life. Yeah. And if anything does happen, we know who it is. It ain't us. We know 100% who it is. So yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like this laptop thing, that'd be interesting. Like, but again, what are your thoughts? I'm curious. You're very introspective when it comes to these things. Like, you think it's a big red herring? You think there's any truth to it? Any legitimacy? Or is it a
me?
Yeah.
I'm introspective.
Yeah, I mean, I like your takes on things, man.
Oh, I think there's tons of dirt on that laptop. I think it's totally for real.
Okay.
There's a there.
Yeah. We have, like I said, I say it on this show all the time. Joe Biden, CFR, talking about it out loud. Uh-oh. Talking about Ukraine out loud and like the influence they have there. Remember that one, Scott? You ever seen that one?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. The billion dollars and instant son of a bitch.
I mean, all it's so easy to talk about. Like, all you have to do is just be like, why was Hunter Biden working for a Ukrainian oil company making 80 grand a month with his qualifications? That's to buy influence from his dad. It's not hard to figure out. Like, and I don't get it. And like people are asking, like, I was listening to Tim Dillon. He has like 80,000 images on that laptop.
Wow.
80,000 pictures.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's so many. How many? I mean, I think I have a lot of pictures on my phone. I probably have like 500.
Yeah, I think my phone says I have like 4,000 photos, but that's like all the memes, all the screenshots, all the everything.
Yeah, I mean, I go through and erase mine a lot, but I mean, if he's in Ukraine smoking crack with hookers, I mean, all those hookers are, you know, taking pictures of him, putting him in compromising situations. Obviously, Ukraine's the most, like, now it's this beautiful display of democracy. But I mean, people don't realize in 2014, all these neocons under the Obama administration orchestrated a color revolution coup. We instituted the leader that we wanted over there, overthrew a democratically elected president or whatever they have. And nobody remembers that. This is the most like corrupt, just backwater little shit country where people like Joe Biden and George Soros's son John Kerry's son, they're all working together. All these high influence politicians' kids are working in Ukraine, making tons of money, doing nothing because so Burisma was when the US overthrew whoever. Burisma was in good with the original government that got democratically for real elected in Ukraine in 2014 or whenever it was. The U.S. goes and overthrows that, does a color revolution coup to institute whoever they did at that point. I don't know if it was Zelensky, if there was one guy in between. So Burisma was on the outs, like they weren't viewed favorably by the new government. So that's why they got to get Hunter Biden on the take so that they can get back in the good favor of the United States and get all this influence through the White House.
Hmm. Yeah. And it just seems like it's just such a, I mean, how could you even chalk this up to coincidence that we're embroiled in this crazy international conflict with Ukraine, where that's like the hub of not only all of the scandal, but like all that's like their profit, their money laundering, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's for. It's a country for money laundering.
Yeah, and they're doing it right now. Like, they're just pumping. Every day he comes out, oh, we're sending another $700 million over there, or another $1 billion. You know what I mean? It's just like billions and billions of dollars. Like, what do you think's going on with that money? It's literally going right back into Biden's freaking back pocket, dude. Guaranteed.
For the big guy.
For the big guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's so wild that it's even like smart people are even like being, you know, connecting it and being like, oh my gosh, I'm just, you know, how, I don't see how I can just, it's so obvious. It's just there. And it's like them telling us they're doing it. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But I guess that's where we're at. They can just tell, us what they're doing. And
then we go, okay.
Yeah. Have you ever looked into the Finger Lakes thing, the tattoo he has on his back?
I have heard some weird stuff. I don't really.
Hunter Biden
has these tattoos on his back, Deborah. It's the Finger Lakes. And what are these? Finger Lakes are in Wisconsin or something?
Let's see. It's a region in New York.
Upstate New York.
Yeah.
And what's the significance?
I don't know. I've seen like other like Illuminati, like I can't remember. There was another like Illuminati type, like, you know, like mumble rapper or something that has him tattooed on him too. So it's like some sort of geographical thing where it's like, you know, I don't know. I was just wondering if you'd heard anything about it. I know there's got to be some significance. There's some like initiate. To me, it feels like some initiatory thing, like, you know, something very profound and significant happens there in some initiation process.
I wonder if it's close to the Montauk Project.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that's up there at the top of Long Island.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to check in with Cheney. He's always posting stuff about it. Ever down for me.
I think Cheney got mad at me on Instagram once.
Ah.
Recently, yeah. So I'm on the outs.
Who's Cheney?
You're on Cheney's show, Deborah.
Cheney. Yeah, but if you say the name, I may not.
You were on her show.
Project,
the lesbian from Florida.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But when you say the name, it doesn't automatically.
I sent so Alex Stein was on our show.
Yeah.
And I sent Deborah like videos of him. I'm like, and she didn't even know who it was.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah, I need to, it's funny. I just got around to like, because I always was like, oh, I need to do a show with him. We always need to, because him and Untruthzilla started like the same like week or like the same like within the same 2 week period.
Yeah.
And so we were always like, fuck, we gotta get it with him and do a show. You know what I mean? And then like, obviously he's blown up. So
he's pretty awesome. I would reach out if you want to do it. He'll still probably do your show, man.
Totally. I'll have to get his contact from me because I just sent him a message on Instagram, but I haven't heard back.
Hit him up on Twitter.
Was he the one who showed up at a school board meeting here in my county?
Yeah. Yeah. He went to the Marin County. He went to like a school board meeting.
Board of Zoom Education.
And was like talking about like how his daughter was trans species. He's like, my daughter, Lizzie, she's a lizard. She's trans species. And like...
you need to really make it inclusive and
I've heard the furries, like furries in class, right? Have you heard about all that?
Oh yeah, like how they're asking for cat litter boxes.
That too. And like I heard someone was reporting on the fact that like, you know, like they have the option to participate in gym class or not, and if they choose not to participate in gym class, they can sit by the teacher's feet and lick their paws.
The world's a meme, dude. You can't, I don't even know what's real and what's not anymore. Like, I really gotta like it was funny when I told Emily about that, because all that stuff's going on with like 3D printed guns and ghost guns and stuff right now. They're really trying to get rid of them. Yep. And like then Joe Biden shook hands with Casper the Ghost.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was telling Emily, I was like, there's got to be a ghost gun joke in there somewhere.
There is.
And then the Babylon Bee did one last night on Instagram. It was up.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It literally is a freaking joke, man. And maybe that's part of the agenda too, is just to make life so insufferable and so deranged and so like unappealing that we all just go run into the metaverse, right? And we all just plug ourselves into our little pods.
Yeah.
Into the goo. They could just mine our brain activity data for cryptocurrency, and you know, and then that's it.
Yeah,
that's game over.
I'll just be out here eating the last the last of the actual physical sheep, and then sayonara. It's into the goo. I'll be eating prime rib and drinking wine with Joe Pantaleone, and
yep.
You know,
what's his name? Joe Pantaleone.
What's his name? Cypher. Is that who?
Cyrus, Silas, something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Cypher.
Is that who was it? Joe Pantaleone.
Yeah, Joe Pantaleone. Yep.
Yeah, that's the guy from The Matrix, Deborah, who sells him out and goes back into the Matrix because he wants to.
All I know about him is he's bipolar.
Yeah, I remember him from the Sopranos. And when he was on the Sopranos, I'm like, oh, it's the guy from The Matrix.
Yeah, no. He gets his head chopped off by Tony Soprano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he killed his horse.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah. Deborah, God,
there's so much I don't know.
Sopranos is a good one. Sopranos is worth watching.
Yeah, I never watched that one.
My parents got into that, and they're like your age too, Deborah. Like they're
it's a good show. I watched it when it was on.
Yeah, me too.
I watched it. I think I didn't catch the first season, but I watched everything after that.
I got pretty obsessed with it too. Like we went to New York City. We went on a Sopranos tour, like down through New Jersey and stuff, like on a bus, like a Tim Dillon style, like tourist bus. Like,
yeah,
through New York and New Jersey, and they were doing like Sopranos trivia. And I was like getting embarrassed because I was like answering every question. I'm like, I gotta chill out, dude. I was all in. I was 100% all in.
Yeah. Have you noticed a lot of stuff is about cannibalism and blood, like drinking blood? And
I mean, that makes sense. I don't know, like pop culturally nowadays or just in general? Like,
yeah.
I don't even culturally. Know, I'm so out of the loop on that shit, dude.
What have you read? What have you seen?
There's just a lot of movies about eating people and drinking blood. And like,
if what you was that to Charlton Heston movie?
Spartacus.
No, where at the end, it's people.
Oh, Soylent Green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watched this movie called Fresh. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
And it's got the guy who played Tommy Lee in Pam and Tommy. And it's, it's about eating people. So I listen to, he listens to a lot of Isaac Weishaupt. He gets into it a lot. So
okay.
It's definitely out there in the ether. Megan Fox, Machine Gun Kelly are drinking each other's blood.
Really? Interesting. Okay. That's.
Yeah. It's very, very strange.
Nice.
So
nice.
Man. Who knows? Deborah, do you have any last questions for Scott? You're never going to see him again.
That's not true. I am going to see you again. Tennessee's just the other end of this cord.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. That was fantastic analogy there, Deborah. Did you just make that up?
I did.
That was really good. I really like that.
Just a cord away.
Just a cord away.
I don't know, man. I'm not jealous of you because I love my wife and I love this little piece of property I got up here, but man, if I was single and your age, I'd be doing the exact same thing. And you're about to enter a fantastic new phase of life. I mean, talk about we're both in recovery and we both have a, you know, pretty good history with 12-step programs. And like I said, like you still do 12-step programs. I don't.
Yeah.
But I owe my life to Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, as I don't really want to do it anymore because it got so woke in the places I was living.
Totally.
But if anybody came up to me and said, I can't stop drinking, I know you don't drink, what should I do? I'd be like, hey, let's go to AA.
Because, totally.
So I think it's fantastic that you're so open about doing it, and I think you can probably help a ton of people just by getting your words out, and I can do the same, you know.
That's it, man. That's it. I mean, that's where I get the benefit out of it too, is just by helping other people, like sponsoring guys, and like to me, like the old saying, you only keep what you have by giving it away, and I fully believe that, you know. Just like,
but just imagine this, Scott. You get to go. You're one of your mid-30s. You're going to a new place.
Yeah.
You're gonna show up at a AA meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and you're gonna be like the new dude to all the chicks that like doesn't have history with all the other girls like everybody else, and you're gonna be like, I got like, what do you got, 6 years sober now?
I'll have like 5.5 right now.
You're so. Like, that's so much time sober to like some chick with 2 years, dude.
Yeah, there you go.
And you didn't have sex with her best friend already. Man, you're going to kill it out there, dude.
And I'm going to be like, is there any ladies here that are 30? Both years and days clean, please. Anybody?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm just but man, yeah, dude, I think you're gonna have a fantastic time out there, and I wish you all the luck in the world. And yeah, like I said, man, I wish I'm really content with what I got. But maybe if we could plant our exact situation in the middle of Tennessee, that might be a little bit better. But
I'm envious of what you got, and that's my goal, is to get to where you're at, you know what I mean? And so I'm just gonna go make that my goal
out there. And you can get all that stuff, man. My life got really good at about 5 years, you know. I mean, my life got really good at, you know, at 30 days. Totally. but you know,
exactly
2 to 5 years was like a lot of fun for me. So yeah, I know you're gonna do great out there, and I've always wanted to come to Tennessee, so get out on some land out there. We'll come check it out, and that road trip's going to be awesome too, dude. You should take, that's my suggestion, man. I give out good suggestions to people.
Yeah, I'm going to document the hell out of it for sure.
Take a little bit of extra time, man. Just go drive the long way, man. Do some fun stuff. Go check out Texas. Go check out more than Austin. Austin's neat for a day.
I mean,
go to the mall. And like maybe drive past Joe Rogan's warehouse or something.
Yeah,
and then Float Fest is gonna be great. And then just go do weird stuff, eat barbecue, eat all sorts of weird hog's feet and stuff while you're there. Totally. It's gonna be hella fun, man.
Yeah, you guys did chicken shit bingo.
Yeah, we went. Yeah, there is. You can kind of go find the old Austin's kind of cool, where like there's actually like real cowboys and stuff still. Like cool. gentrified white people. So, yeah, it's my goal someday during the summertime that Emily and I can go on a road trip and like just stay at homesteads and podcasters' house, like all the way to the other side of the country, and that's then back really again, cool. You know, never have to pay for anything. Always just have a place to camp. And yeah, I'm stoked that now I got a spot in Tennessee that I can have an excuse to come check out.
For sure, man. You know it. You're always welcome. 100%.
Yeah. And you know, you helped us out so much. And you know, maybe there might not be DGRP if it wasn't for you. So if you didn't shout me out that one time, maybe I never started the show. So,
that's crazy, man. That means a lot. And I share that story all the time too, man. And it's pretty special. Like, it's a pretty special thing you have going on, and Deborah, like what you have achieved and like what you guys have built, and just all the positive energy you guys have put out into the universe. You know, we always say, like, dude, Deborah, I don't know if you know about this. We talk about your guys' show all the time. I'm always talking about it to other content creators and other shows that I'm on, just because it's such a microcosm of like what this world is and what this world should strive to be. You know, we may all disagree on certain things, but we can all come together and with an open and it's a really powerful thing that you guys are doing, and it's really a service to humanity, really. And everybody I ever tell about your show, they're always like, oh my gosh, I gotta go do that show. And so
yeah, it's pretty cool. Like Scott's eating dinner with Richard Gage. Like, this is where we got, I mean, you got to, you were in prison, now you're sitting next to Richard Gage eating dinner.
Wow.
And I mean, like
editing work for him too, and like he's making this big new like film, and he's gonna hit me up to do some editing work on it.
Yeah, but it's like multiple times, like people of high status you've texted me and been like, dude, I just talked to so-and-so about your show, they really really want to do it. So yeah, we got Richard Gage.
So great.
Richard Gage
is coming on soon.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like when our second show is 9/11, and Deborah like actually did some research, and the research that she did was from Richard Gage.
Richard Gage.
Yeah. But Scott, I can't thank you enough for everything that you've done for us, and I'm glad that you're my friend. I'm glad that I know you in real life, and I'm just really have a lot of fun memories with you, camping and you know, just hanging out and. Yeah, you're an inspiration to us all, and I know you're gonna kill it out there. So we love you a lot at the show, and let's stay in touch, and let's make sure that we see each other in real life for the rest of our lives.
Sounds good, man. Hell yeah! All right, thanks.
Right on, buddy. Yeah, tell us Show us, text me from the road.
I will, man. I will. Sounds good.
And tell everybody you want to plug anything.
Oh, sure. We'll just
Rebunk.
Say the new show is Rebunked. If you guys go to rebunked.news, you'll find all the links. We're on like Rockfin, back on band.video. Crazy. But t.me/rebunkpod is the Telegram. It's the best place to stay.
Okay. I got to get in there too. So
yeah. So Rebunked Pod and not just Rebunked. So Rebunked Pod is pretty much all the social media. So,
all right, dude.
Thanks, guys. We'll appreciate having me. Take care. Adam Deborah. Right. See you guys later.
Love you.
Bye. Safe.
Bye.
You, bye-bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people, all those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. Delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.